Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, fight fans, and welcome to this issue of Knuckle Up on Sports Action Network Radio. It's your host, George Boley, and calling in and sitting in, as always, the co-host and the editor at the MMA Corner and Scrap Fight Magazine, Mr. Josh Davis, will be calling in shortly. Really, there's been a lull in MMA news, quite honestly, besides some basic announcements at Bellator and some fights that have been announced. There really hasn't been any real major news that I've seen. Everybody's really gearing up for 205 in New York. It's going to be a big event in New York. Bellator has some events, but they will be starting in November as well, too. So it's really been a slow week for MMA, for news, for anything really that's eye-catching. So we will definitely, there's still a lot to talk about. You know, our next event will be next Friday, Bellator, Liam McGeary versus Phil Davis for the light heavyweight title for Bellator, but that's next Friday. We'll cover that then. It's really just been a light week, quite honestly, when it comes to mixed martial arts. What's going on, brother?
Oh, not a whole lot, just enjoying the day, and like you just said there, enjoying, you know, kind of some much needed time off from hectic mixed martial arts.
Yeah, man, I can definitely appreciate that. You know, let me ask you, is it cold over there?
No, it's not. It's 70 degrees right now. I'm actually standing outside enjoying a beautiful day as we speak.
Well, you guys are lucky because it's 52 degrees over here, cool.
Oh, now, we have the storm coming. It's not here yet. And this is actually unusual for Colorado. Normally, we at least have two snowfalls before Halloween. And we, in the city of Denver, now the mountains are getting hammered, but in the city of Denver, we have not gotten any snow as of yet.
Well, I'm not talking about snow. You know, I'll take any cold weather, just don't let it snow. Because snow is a new beast, but it's really been chilly. Last week here, we had 3 days, it was 80-plus degrees, you know, and then, boom, just gone. I mean, woke up this morning, there was frost on my car. I was like, wow, it was 35 degrees. It was crazy, crazy.
But, you know, summer's done, fall's here, it's that time. Pretty soon we'll be talking about the blizzards that we're both sitting in.
Yep, no doubt about it. Well, that being said, and talking about blizzards as we transition, it's really been a light week for MMA. I mean, everybody's really looking forward towards November. I know Bellator has 3 fights in a row, but really everybody's holding their breath for UFC 205 to see if the UFC can pull it off. Is that a pretty good read so far?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. And, you know, every Wednesday night on my local radio show here in Denver, I talk to Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, and even he's made some interesting comments about how this is different. It's not, you know, it's not the same as what it's been in the past, from just the way they're having people do media coverage to, you know, just the billing of the event, everything. And, you know, he said it's from a fighter's perspective, it's interesting to see certain things that are different. Now, he didn't say that anything was bad or negative or anything like that. He just said that, you know, they are totally starting to see changes of new ownership.
All right. I mean, And can he give you an example? Should I ask? Can he give you like an example? What does he mean by that?
You know, one of the things that he was talking about was just how they're doing schedules and just the amount of notice that they get for what their schedule is going to be, what they're doing, all of that kind of stuff. Just little things, you know, like that, that are already different. And, you know, if they're already changing these things, then what do you think they're going to do with everything else?
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, it's going to be interesting. You know, that's the thing about transitions. It always, you know, when you get used to doing some things one way and then next thing you know, they change. And, you know, it's not easy. It's really not easy. But we knew that there were going to be some changes with this purchase, you know, and it must be harder on the fighters more so than anything else.
Yeah, and, you know, it's going to get a lot harder on fighters here pretty soon, I think.
In what ways do you imagine?
Well, you know, as we've been talking, new ownership's going to do less events. You know, they're going to do a lot less events. They're certainly not going to have a year where they're, you know, doing 40 events in 12 months. That's just not what new ownership wants to do. If they do 18 events through all the different platforms, Fight Pass, Fox, pay-per-view, so on and so forth, if they do 18 events in a year, in their mind, that's too much. And so what that'll mean is, you know, obviously less fights, which means less paydays, which means less fighters on the roster. And so, yeah, big things are coming. And like you said, the fighters are going to be the ones who feel it the most.
Well, you know, I've said this over the years. They super saturated the market anyway. You know, they really did. And whether it's good, whether it's bad, the bottom line is having that many events in a year, you know, whether it's globally, whatever it is a huge financial drain. Now, the question that I have, just with my business background, is why would you spend $4 billion for a company if you're going to lower the product potential, which means the content that they're going to put out? Two things can happen there, okay? The product can get extremely better. So, in other words, moving forward, we won't be complaining about a fight card that we paid money for, but the fight card was weak, you know? Now it almost guarantees you that they will always have creme of the creme fighting on a fight card that you want to spend your money for, you know, and they may be able to set it up where, you know, they're always doing big things, not these mediocre things that just shows just to put on to have shows. Second thing, you're absolutely right. You know, when you're building up that way, either the fight cards are going to get bigger, 16 fights on a card, 17 fights on a card, 18 fights on a card, or they're going to have to lose some staff because they can't service everybody. What will happen then? I believe you'll just see the cream, the people that want to stay there, the people that are going to end fights, the people that want to be dynamic and stay with the company, they're going to fight their hearts out to stay on the roster. And those individuals who lay and pray and are boring fighters, may have a name, won't. You know what I mean?
You know, and here's the thing. Nobody has a name with new ownership, not even George St. Pierre. Nobody has a name with new ownership. So you're going to have to go out and earn it. And I think it, in their mind, they want quality. That's it. They don't want quantity. If they only put on one card a year that's full of, let's say, six fights, and those are the six best fights that anybody's ever seen, then they're happy with that. But it's about quality. They don't want to hear fans complaining about a bad card and then have Dana White come out and say, you know what, then don't buy it. That's not what they're looking for as far as their business model goes. So they truly are going to try and clean everything up and make it as quality of a fight product as possible. Now, with that being said, even the best fighters
are still going to lay an egg. I mean, there have been many a times where we complained about Anderson Silva's performance. There have been many a times that we've complained about George St. Pierre's performance. So even the best fighters in the world have off nights, bad days, whatever. But the goal for new ownership is to keep that to a minimum.
Yeah. You know, like I said, it should. It definitely should, you know. It's just going to be interesting to see their strategy in doing it, because the strategy that they have now got them to where they were. See, go back to the money that they spent, got them to where they were. Now, were there a lot of overages, unnecessary spending? Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. But to pay such a high price for that, my mind is wondering as to how they're going to recoup this over the term. You know, these are not small numbers and small dollars. And the people that are investing in this, they're not investing in this in 18 months to take a loss. Even a 30% loss at $4 billion is real money, you know. And some of the vehicles that they used, like Fox Sports One and Fox Deal and something like that, you know, I've been hearing, and you've kind of confirmed it too, that there's been some underlying rumblings and things of that nature where that even that deal may not be in place. And so now you have to ask yourself, who's going to be able to step up financially to put them back in that better position to take the product to the next level? That's the whole purpose. The product is the content to take it to the next level. You know? And so,
yeah,
like I said, you don't get into an investment like that to take a loss, a financial loss, unless you know something we don't know, when base where you see in the market shift and you can capitalize immediately on the new market shift, you know, to increase your growth potential. Sorry about the business speak, guys. I just had to throw it out there.
No, and absolutely. And you're 100% right. But here's the thing. These guys, they didn't buy it to take a loss, like you said. They absolutely have a plan. And they bought the UFC with the mindset that, yeah, hey, Fertitas, you guys did a great job. We can do it better. You guys have done this, that, and the other. We don't, as a business plan, we don't agree with any of that. We're going to do it better, and we're going to make even more money than you guys did, because our way is going to be better. And that is the belief that they have. So they absolutely didn't buy this thinking they were going to take a loss or eat any kind of money. They bought it thinking that they're smarter, that they're better business people, and that they will be able to put on a better worldwide product.
Yeah. I can't wait to see
now,
it.
Can they do it? That is the question. Because, again, like you said from the very start of this conversation, Dana White and the Fertitta brothers took this $2 million investment and made it into $4.4 billion. So they obviously did something right. They, you know, they might have been the biggest idiots in the world, but they knew something. So if you can beat that, then, oh, my God, I can't wait to see it, because that would be insane. Then you wouldn't be talking about $4.4 billion. You'd be talking about $150 billion.
Yeah. You know, look, even if they doubled it by 100%, you know, have an $8 billion entity, it's through the roof. It's through the roof. Not too many people can say that, you know. And on top of that, just so everybody knows, you know, this is the highest paid franchise ever. Not even NFL teams were sold for this amount of money and bought, you know. So this is the first time for a sport that's less than 30 years old, you know what I mean, when it comes to it. I mean, when they merged the NFL and the AFL back in the day, they weren't even talking about dollars like these. You know what I mean? So, and that was the entire league. So it's crazy. It's crazy how things have transpired, but can't wait to see it. Can't wait to see it.
You know, it's going to be interesting. I know I say that a lot, but it truly is going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
No doubt. How's Wonder Boy doing? Is he getting ready for his fight?
Oh, he's doing very well. He's very positive, very upbeat. Now, for those of you who don't know, you know, Wonder Boy and I have a excellent relationship. We're actually friends away from fighting. And so for, I don't know, the past four of his fights now, past five fights, he's done fight blogs leading into his fights. He starts 9 weeks out and does 9 weeks leading into his fight. And this is the most positive I've ever heard him. He is just, he is ready to go. Whether or not he wins the fight is yet to be seen, but he's primed, he's trained hard, he's, you know, he's mentally ready, he's physically ready, and, you know, he knows he has the challenge ahead of him, but he's in the best position that he could be in to win the title. Now, unfortunately, he's fighting Tyron Woodley, and that's no easy task for anyone. So you can't take Tyron lightly. It's going to be an awesome fight. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, I can't either. You know, because this is a hands, really, this is a hands against feet fight. You know, Stephen's feet are as fast as some people's hands, and you can't take that for granted because they come so quick. You know, but Tyron has that punch out power, and I'm not saying that we haven't seen Stephen have his chin get touched and see if he can withstand it, but we haven't even seen Stephen get his chin touched to see if he can take it. You know what I mean? Because he's just been that good, you know.
And yeah.
To get hit with somebody with such compact power, you know, you don't know how your body's going to respond because we haven't seen it in his fight career yet. That's going to be the key of the fight when we really break down this fight. Can Tyron close the gap and cut his legs off? And can Stephen really maintain his distance to win this title?
And, you know, it's funny because as analysts, we break down fights all the time. And we have it in our head that, yeah, this is how the fight should go. But I've learned over the years that the way you and I break down fights, and then when I talk to, you know, a fighter and go over things, hey, here's what I thought you needed to do to win this fight, or what you needed to do to not lose the fight, whatever the case may be, oftentimes they have a different thought process. And, you know, they think, oh, well, you know, we were going at it from this point of view and this game plan. And it's interesting to see how just analytically we differ from, you know, a lot of fighters. However, Stephen is 100% in agreement with that. It's, you know, his head movement and his feet movement versus Woodley's takedown attempts and his right hand. And so the goal is not to let him get those takedowns and not to let him, you know, use certain things to set up his right hand. And at the same time, Stephen's got to be able to implement his offensive style, again, not getting hit with the right hand and not putting himself in a position where Woodley can grab, you know, his lead leg and then get in close and get him down, all that kind of stuff. So it truly is going to be a chess match. And he equated it a lot to when he fought Rory McDonald and what he needed to do to get a victory in that fight. And so he is as mentally prepared as he can be. But again, in a fight like this, I mean, it's the biggest fight of your career. One thing that we talked about is in that manner, he's one step behind Tyron Woodley. Woodley's already had the biggest fight of his career. That was Robbie Lawler, and he was able to capitalize it and win the title. And now Stephen's got to do the same thing. And so, you know, Woodley already knows what that's like. He knows what that feels like because he was just there. And so, you know, when you think about where people are mentally, it's completely different defending your title than it is trying to win a title for the first time.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But there's a difference. A lot of the fighters that come in with a base perform different. You know, Ronda had a judo base, took her all the way up to the title. Okay? Problem is, she didn't develop the other skills that she needed, striking skills and things of that nature, until it was too late. You know, Cormier had a wrestling base. Rashad had a wrestling base that he brought boxing into. That's how he knocked out Chuck Liddell. You know, George St. Pierre, he had a Kyokushin karate base, which made him a great striker. He knew he needed his wrestling, so he went training with the Canadian Olympic team and the national team. You see what I mean? But they had a fundamental base. And what he's looking at is his karate background. Don't forget, he was an excellent expert striker when he fought for World Combat League, Chuck Norris and things of that nature. So he understands it. The problem is, when you say other fighters don't look at analytics that way, they don't, because they have a hodgepodge of skills that they came in as a mixed martial artist. There was really no base that they can depend on to give them the eyeballs that they need to look at this. You see what I mean? Look at this landscape,
yep,
a little bit differently. For me, I'll always go back, like I tell you, I'm a striker. So I always go back to the ABCs of striking. Don't get it too fancy. Don't make too many, don't complicate it. Keep it very simple so you can move in the ring. Now those fighters that do that become very successful. Very successful because you see it. Same thing. Set up your hands for the takedown, if that's what you do. You know, so it's going to be interesting. But sometimes the fundamentals of mixed martial arts are still the same. You actually do need a base in some type of martial arts and have some success in that martial arts in order for you to move on to mixed martial arts. Jack of all trades, master of none, is actually true.
Yes. Yes. But, again, like you said, there has to be a basis. There has to be a foundation. You know, for anything that's solid, you have to have that foundation, and then you can build out from there. And so all the greats, like you just listed off, they had a foundation that they were able to build from. And so, again, this for me, this fight is beautiful because Tyron Woodley has the wrestling base that he evolved into striking, and he can knock you out, he can take you down and beat you up, he can kick your teeth in. Doesn't matter, he's got it everywhere. Wonderboy Thompson, again, he's a karate guy that is completely evolved. You know, he's learned how to wrestle, he's learned how to stuff takedowns, he's learned how to be strong in the clinch and use his leverage and do things outside of just needing to kick people in the face. And so, you know, that again is the evolution of your basis. And I can't wait for this fight. I know Conor McGregor's on the card and all that kind of stuff, but it still baffles me a little bit that this title fight is not the main event.
Yeah, you know, but at least it's on the card. That's all we can
yes.
say, you know, at least it's on the card. So we'll definitely see how all of that truly, truly, truly plays out. And did we miss anything? We only have about 5 minutes left, but like I said, it's been really, really a slow week for news.
Wow, the show went quick. I did not even realize that we had only about 5 minutes left. I think one of the big things that I just am getting wind of, I got actually wind of it about 15, maybe 20 minutes before we came on air, and I don't have all the facts. But I will let you guys know this. Apparently, three cars were either exploded or set on fire in the driveway of the home of Anthony and Sergio Pettis. Firefighters were called out to put out the blaze. Investigators, police and law enforcement are actively investigating what happened as we are talking right now, because this all went down within the last hour and a half. So hopefully everybody's okay. Hopefully, you know, there was nothing, no funny business going on. You know, that's what I'm saying. Hopefully everyone's
yeah.
okay. But again, I do not have all of the details. I do not have all the facts. I just know, again, law enforcement and firefighters and emergency response vehicles were sent out to the house of both Anthony and Sergio. They share a house together. And the reason for that was because three vehicles were on fire in their driveway.
That's
now,
crazy.
The, It is crazy. And so obviously I'll get more information over the weekend. We'll talk about it more next Friday. But yeah, hopefully they're both okay. The other big thing that came out this week that's kind of just getting glossed over is Donald Cerrone. You got to love this guy. Always trying to do what's best for the sport. So he did come out this week and say absolutely fighters need to unionize. He also said that he would pave the way and take whatever monetary hit, anything like that, that he needed to do to make sure that this started to happen. And so I think that's huge. I think now that we have an active UFC fighter that has a pretty decent star power and a pretty decent relationship with Dana White, actively saying that they need to unionize. It's not like Mark Hunt when, you know, the UFC wanted to just shoo him because of the Brock Lesnar issue. We have a guy, again, who Dana White loves, the UFC loves, fan loves, saying, hey, let's unionize. Other fighters respect. So it'll be interesting to see if anything actually comes from that.
Yeah, look, I definitely agree. But don't forget, Dana White doesn't own the company like he or have cablage like they had before. And
exactly.
They can't hold it down forever. You know, you're going to have to address some of these major issues that fighters have across the board. And if you keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it, it's going to affect your product too. It really is. You know. So their last big hoorah was really getting MMA into New York. That's what they spent money on, and that's what they lobbied for. You know, and now that that's done, you know, there's a new challenge. You know, we've been talking about fighters unionizing and for years now. Good thing, bad thing, indifference, whatever it is, you got to have the conversation. You have to have it genuinely. It has to be genuine, you know, not just lip service, because these are people's lives that we're dealing with. You know, broken nose is still a broken nose, whether you make $1 million or you make $5. The damage that happens to these fighters, MMA, boxing, kickboxing, you know, those injuries are real injuries. So, you know, this is nothing really to play around with. And because it's prize fighting, they do this for our entertainment. You see what I'm saying? So it has to
definitely
address
to.
Yeah. You know, it definitely has to be addressed. You know, this is nothing to play around with. It has to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, again, I hope something comes of this, because we talk about it all the time. Fighters do need to make more money. Fighters do need better health care. And they need long-term health care. They need health care into their 70s, 80s, 90s, just like everybody else does. So, and it's up to us. It's up to us, media, fans, all of us, to get this done.
Yeah. If they can do it for the NFL and put something in place, why can't they do it for them? And at least the NFL, they have pads and helmets.
Yep. Yep, you know, people can say whatever they want about the NFL. The NFL is relatively safe. When you have grown men literally generating the force of a Mack truck, and then you think about the limited amount of injuries that actually occur in the NFL, no, the NFL is relatively safe because they've done the research. They've spent the money on better equipment, all of that kind of stuff. MMA needs to do the same. You can't tell me the money's not there. They just sold the UFC for $4.4 billion. Absolutely, the money's there.
I agree. So we'll hold it right there. Don't forget, for this or any other episodes, you can go to the Google Play Marketplace and download the free Sports Action Network mobile app. The latest MMA news and information, you can go to the MMA Corner. That's themmacorner.com. Check out Scrap Fight Magazine. That's scrapfightmag.com. I want to thank you for sitting in, brother. Everybody stay knuckled up, and we will talk next week.
Your days at the newsstand are over. Scrap Fight Magazine brings all the world's mixed martial arts action to your computer with a click of a mouse. Read articles, interviews, and feature pieces from some of the world's most respected fight journalists, and get the lowdown on the biggest MMA events and fighters from across the globe. And because Scrap is digital, you'll have full access to the integrated audio and video segments. So subscribe now at www.scrapfightmag.com and get your scrap on.
Thank you.